The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast. This is The Next Generation with me, your host, McKenna Cassidy. For the next 30 minutes, I invite you to explore with me what young adults are up to in the Italian wine scene. Today, let's feast on our discussion of Italian wine, travel, food, and culture. Thank you for being here. Grab a glass with us. Cin cin.
Hello, everyone. I'm McKenna Cassidy. I'm here with Martina Fiorino. Good morning, Martina.
Hi, McKenna. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to talk about a beautiful winery based in Serralunga d'Alba in Grinzane Cavour. Bruna Grimaldi is the name of the winery, founded by a woman who's Martina's mother. So it's an absolutely wonderful story. We're going to get into all of that detail. And Martina is our special guest because she is a young person in the wine industry and she has a legacy in this family winery. Martina graduated in business administration and studied abroad as a wine buyer in London. And then she returned to Grinzane Cavour, where she is from, in the Barolo region of the Langhe, to help her family enterprise. Her brother Simone specializes in production, in the vineyard management and the winemaking, and Martina manages the commercial and administrative aspects of the winery. This, like I mentioned, began in the 1950s with Martina's great-grandfather, but of course the winery is named after her mother. So I'm so interested in learning about that story today. And it's very cool because the family works together as a unit while also looking to Martina and Simone to be the next generation and step up to eventually lead the winery. So Martina, this is so awesome. What is your relationship with your brother Simone like? And like, how do you guys work together with the rest of your family?
Oh, it's a great team, actually. We grew up in a farming and a family of winemakers and farmers. We didn't really know we're going to get into the wine industry together. You know, when you're young, you don't really know where you're gonna be when you're an adult. And our parents never pushed us to study winemaking, so it was really something that came out straight from us. So we decided that this was our path, and we wanted to be together. And I'm very, very lucky because my brother is a great leader for me, great mentor. He has a very in-depth knowledge of winemaking, which culture. He's very passionate about wine. He's also worked in New Zealand for one harvest before joining full-time the family estate. So he's, for me, my shoulder. So we are a great team. We support each other. And also our parents really leave us freedom to make changes, to invest, to decide, to change things. So we were also lucky in a way that our parents are very flexible with our new ideas and things that we want to improve and change.
Cool. What are some of those ideas?
We have been changing quite a lot of things. So, of course, switching to sustainability, organic farming, that started with our parents, but we really are taking this as a serious topic for us. So we're really keen on expanding the concept of sustainability to a much bigger, to many aspects of our industry, I would say. So not only in the environmental part, but also the social sustainability. So people work with us. How do we educate them about what we're doing, why we're doing things in a certain way. And also we changed the bottle recently in 2020. We switched to Albaiza bottle, which is something that my brother and I really wanted to do, to use a bottle of this territory, which we think it adds value to the wines. And we also revised the labels. And yeah, so small steps in a family estate, you know, it takes time, but we have clear ideas of what we want to do. And yeah, So it's a nice it's a nice team, and we get along together quite well. We have different backgrounds which kind of convey together quite well. So it's nice. I'm very lucky.
Wow, that's great. I remember backing up a little bit. I noticed you mentioned the Albesa bottle. I remember that Renato Ratti invented that shape of bottle. What about it and its connection to Barolo inspired you to switch to that bottle shape? What bottle shape were you using before?
It was the Bordelais bottle, like Bordeaux wines type of bottle, which it's also, well, like glass in terms of doesn't have really an impact on the quality of the wines. It's mostly, you know, about the communication and positioning of the wines. Yeah, and since we are one of the few regions to have a specific bottle for the appellations of these area, so the wines of Alba, it would make sense to use it. Also, the shape of it, it's very elegant, so somehow reflects the elegance of the wines of this area.
Yeah, it has like such a powerful and bold shape, but with the softer shoulders, it's definitely unique to its place. It has a different like slope than a Burgundy bottle, so it doesn't look exactly the same as that. It's very interesting. I love that about your winemaking region. I just think it's cool that it's so unique there. I mean, not every wine region is blessed with like its own glassware as well. So
yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
It's quite cool. Yeah.
So I noticed that you went to the university. How do you say this? Gavle?
Gavle. I don't speak Swedish. I pretend to. So I want to attend a Swedish course when I was there, but then I quit after the second class because I couldn't do it. It was so much. I only know how to say skål, which is cheers, because we had a lot of fun.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a good thing to know. And I kind of like stalked your LinkedIn, I admit. And you like had a class called The Art of Leadership. What was that? Do you recall kind of what that class was like?
So when I decided to study in Sweden, I spent there 1 year of my university time, and I mostly studied subjects like marketing, brand management related subjects. And then I picked the Art of Leadership course because I think human resources are quite an important asset of any organization in any kind of industry. So it was quite interesting to learn how difficult it is to, you know, it's easy to read on books that leadership, how to be a leader, but then putting that into action and in the working environment, it's not that easy. But it's actually very important, because if you're able to create an environment where people are passionate, motivated, and also committed towards the same goal, when there is a clear vision, a clear mission, then the atmosphere is much better. It's much easier to reach goals and also create a successful working environment, which I think is what matters the most these days. And I think in our industry is quite important, because especially in this region, there is like human resources are key to any winery. I guess we need a lot of passionate people willing to work long hours and to commit for an entire season to vineyards, tending to vines and getting the fruits back in the winery and turning that fruit into wine, which is then able to tell people around the world a lot about the season, what has been done in the vineyard. But it takes a lot of time and motivation to get to that result. Leadership is very, very important. The ability to get the team together and make them feel part of it, feel part of what we are all working towards. This, I think, the leadership applies to small estates. These topics applies to small estates like ours, but being in a territory where we produce wines and producer are somehow bringing the territory around the world through wines, I think leadership should also applies to this bigger concept of all producers working as a team to promote our land. So more about the territorial leadership, so cooperating as a team between producers to bring the appellation to the next level and creating more value.
Yeah, and especially too, you talked about your community on site at Bruna Grimaldi and making like a group of people motivated towards a goal together. And if you're managing those people, like the ability to lead them towards that goal, like you just mentioned, is super important. How would you characterize like the mission of your winery? And then how do you picture the Barolo area innovating in a similar mission?
Well, the mission is, the vision before the mission is, the vision is producing authentic wines, which, you know, are low intervention wines, sustainable wines that respect the environment, people. You know, they are able to be the expression of folk, the culture, the tradition, people, the tradition of this region. But at the same time, they need to be clean, in a way, sustainable. The mission is having a team on board, which is, of course, the mission is working, yeah, together as a team and really explaining what we're doing and why we're doing this way. So also the switch to organic for us, it took a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort in the vineyards. So being able to communicate that and making everyone aware that we're doing this because it helps us as human beings. So it's a lifestyle choice, but also helps vines and helps the overall market and also the world itself. In terms of the territory, I think this region, because we work with very prestigious appellations, so we have a huge commitment, and I think we really need to, you know, take this as the starting point. We work with some of the most important appellations in the world, so we must adapt and improve. And I think there is all producers are paying a lot of attention to these topics, to you know, improving the working conditions, improving the way we work in the vineyards, so sustainability in a 360 degrees perspective, which I think especially the new generation, I belong to the new generation, I would say, we tend to work together a lot and to actually share ideas, projects. So it's quite cool to see this great cooperation coming up, which I think it's probably the future. The future is working as a team to grow even more and create more awareness about what we're doing in this region.
Yeah. Which wineries, who are your neighbors, also have young people helping run them?
So I have a group of friends. I'm a member of an association of young women in wine, so under 35 years old. It's called Sbarbatelle. So I have a nice group of friends who are from Piedmont, from the Lange region, but also from all over Italy. So it's quite a cool association, which I'm very proud to be part of, because it's also a nice playground to grow, you know. So it's a way to share ideas and see what we can do to move farther. But also in this region, there are a lot of wineries we're friends of, and so we kind of get together to see what we can do together.
That's so cool. Sbarbatelle, I've never heard that. How many women are in this group?
It's around 120, I think. So it's growing. It's growing very fast. So I'm not up to date with the right numbers. So it was born, it originated in Piedmont. It was an idea of a sommelier from ICE. So he started selecting young women in wine and then actually expanded it to all regions in Italy. So we do an event every year in June in San Martino Alfieri, so about 30 minutes from the Lange area, in the Asti area, where around 60 producers will show their wine. So they come from all regions in Italy. And it's a way of, you know, getting together, also bringing this region wines from other regions and showing like how the evolution of women in wine is growing. So there are more and more women coming up in the wine industry, more than what used to be with my mom and with my mother, with my grandmother, with my great-grandmother, which at the time being a woman working in the wine industry wasn't so popular and also respected, I would say. So now things are changing, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, yeah, team to be part of.
That's so cool. I'm on a group of Women in Wine and Spirits in the U.S. And it is just such a place that everyone comes with so much energy to this group. Like, everyone just wants to contribute and share ideas and have male allies as well. And it's so important. It sounds like this was actually founded by a gentleman and then now it's run by the women. So I just think that's fascinating.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
Like, your winery really centers on women as well. I know that your mom is involved in similar groups like this. And then, of course, the Badarina is a famous crew that's specifically connected to your family. I think it was Nonna Clara, your grandma.
Yeah.
So this is so cool because this crew is its own DOCG in this area. And I was just wondering, I know it's Southwest facing. I was just wondering if you could comment on the connection between this crew vineyard and the women in your family.
Yeah, for sure. So Badarina is a place of, I would say, like the emotional vineyard. It's a place of heart, you know, because that's where my grandmother was born in 1939, and she got married with my grandfather. It was originally from Grinzane Cavour, which is where we're located now, but she brought 2 hectares of vineyards into the state. And at the time, having 2 hectares of vineyards in Stralunga wasn't something to be proud of, but we always remind my grandfather every day that he was a smart guy because Badarina is actually the vineyard that has always been released as a single vineyard since the very first days. And my grandmother, she was born there. So for her, seeing that this wine is being vinified on its own and it's being appreciated all around the world, it's a huge pleasure, you know, because she worked hard when she was young in the vineyards with her family. She spent her childhood there, and she remembers that all the time, because her family was making their own wines out of their vineyards. And she remembers the times in the springtime after the harvest when the brokers were going over for lunch to discuss pricing and to taste the wines. And the wines from that area, so the east coast of Stralunga, were always being paid a bit slightly a higher price because they were mostly used to add a bit of more structure and tension to wines from other areas. So we're mostly blended into other wines. And so she remembers that at the time that the brokers were going over, her mom was cooking tagliarini, so the handmade egg pasta, and chicken cacciatora, which, you know, at the time, being able to eat a meal like that was a real treat because it wasn't like every day like that. So for us, Badarina is the authentic expression of Stralunga, and today is one of the 170 MGA of the Barolo area, and it's the highest point of Stralunga, so quite a cool spot, facing on the east coast, so facing southeast for a small part also east, which Bill was always released as a single vineyard, very distinctive character from the rest of the vineyards that we farm, which are mostly located in the northern parts of the Barolo area.
Okay, that's fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing that. For my wine nerds out there who are in the Via community, they're going to appreciate the reminder that the soil here that she's describing in this place is the sand cemented with limestone layers. It's called Formazione di Lecchio, and that's 15 million years
old. Yeah, exactly. So it's the oldest,
which is just like, it's just so awesome.
It's the oldest soil in the region. Wines of Tralunga are always kind of different. In Tralunga, you get attention and an energy, which is, and also aromatics are very different from the rest of the Barolo area. You get some kind of balsamic herbal notes, which you rarely find elsewhere. So the soil there is rich in limestone, sandstone, which is pietra di langa, so sand cemented with stone, and alkaline pH, so you get this beautiful minerality, and also I like to call it energy, verticality in the wines, linear wines, which really differs from the northwestern part. Absolutely. So it's quite cool. So my grandmother, she's 85 years old this year, and we like to call her Paterina because she still has the energy and attention, same as the wine. So I always tell her, like, I know why you're from Paterina, because, you know, the wines are like you. You have a lot of attention, and She always makes herself heard. We know issues, she recalls all the times she spent there. So it's it's quite an authentic story to hear about.
So if I look up Barolina on Instagram, it's going to be like her Instagram account, right?
Yes. Yeah, for Barolo, it's only Barolina. There is nothing else. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, it feels like, and not to like overanalyze, but it feels like there's this cool attraction between the youth and like the elderly or the timeless or like tradition. And I'm just wondering what you think might be the obvious perhaps connection between those two that makes young people attracted to working in the wine industry.
Yeah, I agree. So I think tradition is what we, the new generation, so thinking also my brother and I as an example, so we look at tradition as being the guideline for us to improve and be actually a tradition which is actually set on what we get today. So it's a current tradition actually, because we are trying to do what has always been, like producing wines from indigenous grape varieties of this region, because those belong to our tradition. So if they've been planted in this region, there is a reason why, because previous generation have and they understood that those grape varieties were performing better than others. It was for them, this microclimate was more suitable. So taking that tradition of specific grape varieties and trying to make the best out of it with the conditions that we get today. So I think that is what is attractive, because somehow you are actually producing something that is not replicable elsewhere. So it's the unique relationship between the culture of a certain region, the folklore, its human factors, grape varieties, microclimates. So something, wine is something that connects all these things together, and you can get a unique product which cannot be produced elsewhere. So that is the cool thing about wine, which will probably push young generations to choose wine and not get tired of wine, because there will never be a wine like the other. There is no vintage like the other. The wine will always evolve in bottle from 1 month to another, from 1 hour to another in a glass. So, and also there is always all the time, any vintage, there is a new story behind the wine, new season, so new challenges, which somehow will impact on the final product.
Wow, that was really well said. Thank you. Yes, change is the constant. That's wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough for offering your expertise and your experiences and storytelling here today, Martina. I wish you and your family much success and joy.
Thank you, McKenna.
And I look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, McKenna. It was very nice talking to you, and hope to see you soon in the Lange region.
Tante grazie for joining me today. Remember to catch our episodes weekly on the Italian Wine Podcast, available everywhere you get your pods. Salute.